We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fans, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm joined today in the early evening by friend of the show, former Mavs Moneyball contributor and current site runner and podcast host over at DallasBasketball.com and the Mavs Step Back. You know him as Dalton Trigg. How you doing, Dalton?
Man, I'm doing good. These Sunday Mavs games, these early tip-off Sunday games are probably going to kill me if they keep going the way they have been here lately.
I feel the thing about watching sports games like this is like you really do run through every possible emotion. And I kind of feel like I need to throw up. Like that was so utterly insane. So for any poor soul that didn't get to watch this game live because you chose to watch, say a national championship game, which actually ended up being pretty awesome from the looks of it, yep. Or just didn't decide to watch the Mavs at all, period. The Dallas Mavericks played an overtime game against the Houston Rockets where they were down at one point by as many as 22. The Rockets came out and just pounded the Mavs. The Mavericks only had two field goals in the first 9 minutes of the game, which is really, really difficult. They countered that by scoring 27 or by shooting 27 free throws in the first half. And Kyrie Irving kind of willed them back into the game in the second quarter. The Mavericks entered the second half down by five, only they couldn't seem to gain any ground and somehow lost the third quarter, which was extremely frustrating to watch because the Mavericks actually managed to tie the game two separate times. The Mavericks, did you know the Mavericks only led in regulation by 48 seconds? 48 seconds.
It's insane. It's also insane that this was apparently the first overtime game of the entire season.
That tracks because I hate overtime games and remember them all with a passion. And so after like the fourth quarter, Mavericks go into the fourth quarter, it just looks like they don't have it. All of a sudden though, Kyrie goes on a one man 15 point, it wasn't a 15, nothing run because the Rockets started answering his baskets, but he was just disgusting. Every possible basket that he could have made, including like one of those layups, which is like what it's a highlight package layup is how I'll describe it. I'm sure Panda Hank will have it on his YouTube channel later, but it's just breathtaking basketball. The Rockets then, Kyrie finally gives the Mavericks a lead on free throws. He shot 17 free throws for Kyrie Irving. That's going to swing his averages.
That's something I'm going to bring up too. That's crazy.
He takes the lead. I want to say it was 121 to 120. And then the Mavericks and Rockets proceed to just switch back and forth with leads. Dylan Brooks made threes. Reggie Bullock made threes. How about a remember some guy type names? Then the Bullock gives them a 128-126 lead. PJ Washington misses his 19th straight missed three, or at least that's what it felt like. And I thought the game was fucking over. They put, who was it? It was the Fred VanVleet on the line for, he misses one of two. The Mavericks go up. Then they have one more shot attempt, and PJ Washington, I think, missed that three with 13 seconds left. Pretty good attempt, just didn't go down. And so at that point, you're thinking the game is over again. They put, who was it? It's the junior. Jabari Smith Jr., who is a 83% free throw shooter on the free throw line. And he proceeded to defecate on his shoes on television. I feel really bad. Like, those weren't just misses. They were, fuck. And he misses them both. The Mavericks get the rebound. You think, oh, yay, Luka's going to jack a three because they had no timeouts left. The kid burned through all his timeouts, like really pretty well-coached kid game, all things considered. The Mavericks had no timeouts left. They push up the floor because Dante Exum gets the rebound, pushes it, gives it to Luka. Luka sizes up from the right wing, sees Dante wide open about probably 15 feet away, dishes him for the ball with a, as time is expiring, three-point make to send the game into overtime. Then in overtime, Kyrie Irving went to work again, scored four. PJ Washington puts two free throws up to give the Mavericks a solid three-point lead, then buries back-to-back triples. Absolutely insane three-point shot-making from PJ. And Luka blocks, what's his name again? Blocks Jabari Smith. Incredible. And then shoots a layup.
Knees, both his knees bleeding. He is just...
He looked like he had been mugged. All game long. It was just, the box score here, I should know this stuff, but it's been a heck of an afternoon for me here at home. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving scored 48 points for Kyrie Irving, 37 for Luka Doncic. My old math in my head tells me, and by my head in my calculator, 85 points. And the Mavericks won the game. What do you want to talk about first? Because I don't even know where to start.
Can we, I guess I want to start with Dante Exum, because the guy is just, he's proven all season that he just has that it factor. Like, he can go for long stretches where you just don't even think about him. But then when the game is on the line, you know, when there's a big three to be had, and he hit another huge one. It was that second game in Sacramento where the Mavs were going for the sweep. And, PJ drove in the paint, got it to Dante, hit the clutch three that essentially won the game. Well, he did it again in this one, even though it didn't win it. It sent it into overtime. But, I mean, he's just got it. Like, if you had told me before this season – and, I knew he had gone overseas. I knew he had really worked on his three-point shot. I knew he was going to be better shooting the ball than what he had been in his previous stint in the NBA. If you had told me that he was going to come into this season, first year back in the league, and shoot 50% from three – he's still right at 50% after this game, and just play the way he has, it's just incredible. I mean, he has just been he's breathed so much life into this Mavs team, especially since they've kind of figured out his role and his minutes and all that kind of stuff. But finished today with 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and was a plus 23. 35 minutes for Dante Exum.
That's clearly the thing they freak out about. So against the Warriors, and the Warriors lost earlier this week when the Mavericks lost 104-100, Exum did not play down the stretch. And I sort of wondered if he was hurt. And I think they have a, I can't tell you this, and I haven't even asked, but if you look at the minute totals, it feels like the Mavericks have a pretty firm like 25 minute cap on him, and they try to steal minutes here and there for Tim Hardaway Jr. And when Tim is feeling it, you get him, and that's fine. But a game like today, Tim just, you know, what did we have here? Tim did not have it. And that's okay. Like, that's his role.
2 of 6, 5 points.
Yeah. Yeah, he was -5 and 8, which really isn't too bad for Tim considering how he can really get carved on defense. But you want to play Dante when it matters, and because they have, you know, they're in crunch time from 5 minutes on in the fourth quarter, and then 5 minutes into overtime, you kind of got to play Dante if you want to win these games. He moves the ball better. He rebounds the ball better. He defends better. And if he connects on threes, then all the better.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's been great. I think going into the playoff, you know, once he got past that initial injury stuff, you know, this isn't going to be an every night thing unless the Mavs just keep going into overtime. He's not going right. to play 35 minutes. So, I mean, I think they've got it figured out with him. He's going to be a big, you know, key to what they do, how far they go in the postseason. But, you know, another thing about this game is, like you mentioned earlier, like Kyrie getting to the free throw line. How many games have we watched where it's like we just feel like he gets mugged, you know, going to the rim and doesn't get the call? And if he ends up with a bunch of missed shots, it's usually because we feel like he got fouled and he didn't get the call and it just counts as a missed shot. But, like, they were actually giving him the whistle today, and it felt great. It's like, finally, Kyrie is getting, you know, the calls that he should be getting, you know, when he goes to the rim and, you know, Dylan Brooks has his hand on his hip, you know, kind of pushing him and stuff like that. So 17 free throws, hit 15 of 17. I mean, that was crazy. And him and Luka, even Maxey getting to the line 8 times this game, you know, free throws really kept the Mavs attached in this one so they could come back from 22 points and end up sending it into overtime and finishing it out. So that's one of my biggest takeaways is, you know, it's great Kyrie 48 points, but just specifically him being able to get to the line, I hope that can continue going into the postseason. We know how, you know how NBA officials swallow their whistles in postseason play. So, I mean,
well, and this was one of those games where if I'm a Rockets fan, I'm probably initially irritated that the Mavericks shot 45 free throws, 27 in the first half, 18 in the second half. Then you go look at how many the Rockets shot, and you just kind of zip it. The Rockets shot 35 themselves. Yeah. This game was a physical basketball game.
The shot making was silly. It was absolutely silly, especially from Houston's point. And I mean, look, I'm not trying to hate on them or anything. There were just certain shots that they were hitting where I was just like, man, this is like the basketball gods smiling upon them because their season's on the line.
Well, and this was fixing to be – oh, quick shout-out to Master Fame for the tip. Really appreciate that. That sort of thing is very appreciated around these parts. The crazy part about these games is, you know, we're sitting here, and I was ready to come in here if the Mavericks had lost and just kind of shrug my shoulders, which is not something I often do, as you well know. But when the fucking Cleveland Cavaliers – I don't know if anybody has noticed this in the chat, but the Cleveland Cavaliers scored 80 points in the first half, 40 points in the first quarter, 40 points in the second quarter against the Los Angeles Clippers. They had a 26 point lead. They scored a combined 38 points in the second half and lost by 2. Absolutely abysmal, loserific performance. And I was basically going to shrug my shoulders and say, okay, well, you know, if the Clippers are going to win that game, this game, you know, because we're still kind of hoping for home court. Which would be incredible after the way the Mavericks start, you know, basically played 40 games at under 500 basketball, but here we are. This is really fun. This is really fun.
You know, I kind of told you this before we got started, but it's like, you know, the way the Mavs have been playing lately, and they're one of the best clutch teams in the league. So it's like, they've won a lot of these clutch games, but you know, if it keeps going the way it's going, they're going to put a lot of us on blood pressure medicine if we're not already on it.
I was looking
at the clutch stats, and you know, if the playoffs started today, the Mavs would play the Clippers for the third time in 5 years. There's like a 85% probability according to ESPN's algorithm, whatever they do. So it's probably going to be Mavs versus Clippers again. And I was looking at the clutch stats, and you know, the Mavs are 22-9 in clutch games. The Clippers are 22-15 in clutch games. The offensive rating for both of these teams in clutch games, the Mavs are 124.9. The Clippers are 125.1. And their net rating, so they have good defensive ratings in the clutch too. Their net rating for the Mavs in the clutch is 19.7, and it's 14.9 for the Clippers. So if games like today, you know, raise the blood pressure a little bit, I can't imagine what a Mavs-Clippers playoff matchup might do. But with that being said, I am optimistic, you know, about the Mavs' chances going into this particular series than I would have been 2 years ago, because completely different scenario for the Mavs, and the Clippers haven't seen this version of the Mavs yet.
No. And I'm sorry for everybody watching my video. It turns out I didn't plug in my computer and I was like getting those "your battery is about to die" thing. And then I couldn't find the plug into my cord. Quick shout out to Mr. Dodang and to Henry in the chat for another quick couple of tips. You guys are a delightful group of gentlemen. All right. Before Dalton and I continue, I wanted to recommend, just and ask very nicely, if those of you could go down who are watching live, could go ahead and click like the stream. Very appreciative of that. We have about 400 people in here from the YouTube. The Twitter number is made up at this point. Have no idea how many people that actually is. It basically, once you sign in live, it never signs you out. So at one point, I had like 4,000 people in here, but it wasn't 4,000 people. If you're also, while you're down there, if you could hit the subscribe button, Josh Bowen, I would really appreciate that. I'm going to host a secondary live show after this game, in which you can come up and participate. I try to do, I don't know, podcasts after every game. Once I get used to having a second child, I will try to go back to a different podcast schedule, but it's been a little tough this year. Those of you listening on the audio stream, if you could consider leaving a review, 5 stars or 1 star, I don't really care. Reviews are good. I just like seeing the reviews, particularly old reviews from when I was very bad at this and people would let me know I was very bad at this. Those are because reviews in the internet are forever. Last thing, I'm going to leave a quick gap here to insert some audio ads. If you could listen to those, that's the one way that Josh Bowen and I actually make money, other than you delightful folks sending us tips. We would really appreciate your support and we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I got to figure out a better way to do that. Whatever. This was a really...
You should hear my, what's it called? My prize picks.
Yeah.
Live ad that I read. It's hilarious.
Well, Prize Picks is pretty fun. I don't understand how it's legal, but that's a different, yeah. That's a different deal. So
it's not Mississippi.
The one thing we didn't talk about, the thing that I honestly think in hindsight swung this game was Amen Thompson losing his mind at like the 8 minute mark, or I'm sorry, the 4 minute mark of the first quarter. Thompson was carving the Mavs up. He had 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists in 8 minutes, and he got teed up and threw out, or not, yeah, it was flagrant two for an elbow to the throat of Maxi Kleba. Here's the thing about that: it was the second time he'd done it. And the refs just called it the second time. And you watch him, and you know, he meant to push Maxi. I just don't know what the fuck he was thinking. Like that dude, you know, you look back, like the he's an incredible basketball player. Some of the things he's done his rookie season statistically have never been done before. He's just an athletic super freak. And the Mavericks, you know, throwing him and Brooks at Luka all game is mean. And I cannot believe he did what he did. That effectively cost him the game.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, the Rockets came out on fire. You know, like we said, their season was on the line. Like, they're officially eliminated now. There's zero chance they can catch the Warriors for 10th in the West. That's over with. They knew that coming in. They were playing with their tails on fire, and he was a big part of it. And, you know, like you said, got away with it the first time. Second time, didn't get away with it. And I don't understand. I mean, it's not like Maxey was doing anything out of line. You know, he was just positioning himself in the paint. And I guess Thompson just, you know, was opposed to that and ended up throwing the elbow, and that was it. But
yeah, hey, I mean, I've done some dumb shit. I've done some dumb shit in my day playing basketball, and like sometimes you do one thing, you're like, okay, you know, I didn't mean to get you. I'm sorry. He did it twice, and that's the part that I just don't understand. He did it twice. Three quick shout outs, then we'll return. Cowboy, thank you for the tip. Really appreciate that. Christopher Rice, thank you for the tip as well. Really appreciate that. Welcome to the show. This is your first time here. We do this every game because I am a lunatic. And then we have JL Channel. He says the Mavs need Lively back real bad. When Gafford gets in foul trouble, they have to go small with Maxey. Lively is more athletic big man than Maxey. This is a great comment, and it's worth kind of discussing more because the Rockets are one of the few teams I think you can get away with playing small because they're rangy, but they're not big. Like, Jock Landale went away from this game. Like, he stopped being a thing, and the Mavericks could afford to play Maxey. But Maxey at the four is really the answer, not the five. And I hope Jason Kidd didn't take away too much Maxey at the five from this, because it's not going to be a thing.
It's kind of crazy. You know, I didn't realize it, and I know he was in foul trouble the whole game. Gafford had five fouls. But it's kind of crazy to me that he only ended up with one rebound in this game, as small as the Rockets were playing. Like, that's kind of crazy to me. 6 points, one rebound, was a negative 26 in 16 minutes. That's that kind of shocked me a little bit when I just saw that.
Right, right. White people can't play ball. Thank you for that. As we talk about Maxey Kleber and Luka Doncic, the condescending writer, fantastic.
What do you think about PJ playing at the small ball five?
Loved it. I'm glad you brought it up. It's weird, and I hope the Mavericks do it more often. I also do hope if they're going to do it, they don't just spread guys around. Like, run some actual actions, because when they did that, they're primarily letting Kyrie cook, which is a fine, you know, that's a fine thing to do.
Yeah.
But I would really like to just see some actions with it, because if you're going to play small and get people and you're going to and get people moving around the perimeter, you just want to take advantage of the fact that you have the athleticism. It's not to just go stand places. So,
you know, it's funny because there's a lot of stuff that PJ did in Charlotte that you can't really take much from. It's like how most people didn't think he could play defense because the Hornets were so terrible defensively. But, you know, obviously that was not the truth. He's a great individual defender. But another thing that you can take from his days in Charlotte, you know, they played him as a small ball five a lot of times. So, I mean, it's not like this is something new for him. And I love it. I mean, 13 rebounds in this one with 14 points. He was 0 for 5 until he hit those two corner threes in that overtime period. So awesome stuff from PJ. He's just been delightful in his time in Dallas. Love it.
It was really fun. I mean, the thing about defeating the Rockets that is, it's nice because I kind of want to hold on to it while we can, because they're pretty frightening. Do you know what I mean? Like, that much athleticism. You know, Dylan Brooks giveth, Dylan Brooks taketh away. But it's pretty. They have something. They got a stew going there. I am not, you know, Jabari Smith Jr. I watched him at Summer League this last summer. Man is good. It's just, you watch some of these bigs, and I can't help this now, particularly because it's like, you look at Gafford, you look at Lively, and you're like, look at what happens when you give Luka Doncic amazing athletes who can finish. What happens? And then it's like, oh, they shoot 80% from the floor. And then because the Mavericks are now allowed to, I mean, Like, look, you and I talked about this. It's just the fact that life now. The Mavericks can foul the hell out of everyone on defense. Like, that's what they get to do now. They just get to foul. I'm delighted to watch it because it benefits the team that I care about. So,
yeah, I mean, look, you probably saw, we talked about this the other day, but just looking at it on paper is just, you know, you look at where the Mavs were in February, 26 and 23. I mean, end of January, that's what they were. Or maybe it was early February. I don't know. Anyway, they were 26 and 23 at one point. Now they're 48 and 30. So they've gone 22 and 7 since then. This is just a great time. If you're a Mavs fan, if you're Mavs media covering the team, you know, it's always more fun covering a team that wins, you know, doing podcasts, stuff like that. I mean, it's the most fun since that 2022 run. Mm-hmm. And even that run, you knew it was going to cap out at some point.
It didn't make sense. Like it
they didn't have a dig.
Because it was like, oh, we're winning by grinding Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith into the ground because they play like a gajillion minutes. This is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is great. I mean, I'm taking it all in. I'm enjoying it. I think the playoffs are going to be incredibly fun. I think we're going to get, you know, a heightened effort from Luka, even though he's already a playoff riser. I think there's going to be even more of attention to detail because I think they're going to be hungry. You know, they missed the postseason completely last year. This is the first time we're going to get Luka and Kyrie together in the playoffs. They've got the front court that they've been wanting forever. Lively, you know, he hasn't been playing these last few games. He should be coming back healthy. Josh Green will be coming back. It's kind of, you know, we don't know where he's going to fall back into the rotation when he comes back, but, you know, there's several spots throughout a game where he could be inserted instead of, say, Tim Hardaway Jr., for example, and it gives you a better chance of moving the ball around and making something positive happen. So I think they're in a great spot, you know, with four games left, and they're pretty close. They got four games left, and their magic number for clinching a top six seed is two.
Yep.
So just win two more games, and they have the Pistons and the Hornets left on their schedule who are tanking. So, you know, it's good times right now for the Mavs, and I'm taking it all in.
Do you think that Luka Doncic technical gets rescinded?
I do. I really think
that was a bad call.
That was horrible.
That I'm trying to think, like, that guy kind of looks like a cone head. It was the bald ref, and he was just like, he did not care for Luka tonight.
Look, officiating in general, and I'm not saying it's all against the Mavs. Like, the Mavs have had some questionable calls against them here lately, but both ways, really, the officiating in these Mavs games over the last like three or four games has been the worst I have seen. And I watch every single game. These last three or four games, it's been the worst I've seen as far as like questionable or missed calls. You know, I've seen all season. So I don't know what's going on, but it's been a hard watch, especially like in the first half of these games.
No, it is what it is. But I sort of wonder also if, you know, if Luka's going to get a rest game out of any of these next four.
I would guess he would.
You know, Kyrie. Kudos to Kyrie for keeping his body the way it is. But Luka is currently looking like he's playing like football from the 1920s. Like he is just physically a wreck right now. And he can take it. I think, honestly, it kind of gets him going. But you also don't want the guy to break down at the wrong time. I'm really curious what they do.
Yeah, just a quick standings update too. So the Mavs, they're a game and a half up on Phoenix, and Phoenix is currently losing in the third quarter by 9 to the New Orleans Pelicans. So they could essentially have a two-game lead on Phoenix in that sixth spot. And then the Pelicans, I guess they'd have a two-game lead on them too because the Pelicans would move up a little bit. So something to keep an eye on. You know, every time, you know, the Suns or the Pelicans or the Lakers or the Kings, any of them do something, you know, we're keeping an eye on it.
That's right. Well, Dalton, I told you I'd keep you to 20 minutes. We're now at 25 minutes. You have anything else before I let you go for the day?
Not really, man. I just I can't believe how that – I mean, I guess I should believe how it ended given how these – something about these afternoon Sunday Mavs games that have buzzer beaters and high excitement. And, you know, I was there a few weeks ago for that Kyrie buzzer beater against the Nuggets, and everybody was sauced from St. Patrick's Day, and it was a playoff atmosphere. It was amazing. And it just, you know, seeing that and then seeing what they did today, and it just makes me really excited for the postseason, and I'm already making plans to, you know, to come out there to hopefully catch multiple rounds of Mavs playoff basketball and not just one. So I'm excited.
Well, man, I really appreciate you taking the time. Guys, if you don't go to DallasBasketball.com, you should, because they post more than Mavs Moneyball does. You should also give the Mavs Step Back a subscribe, just like me. Dalton isn't as insane to go live, but he does probably post about as regularly as we do. You and your co-host, Coach Drew, lots of fun. Couple of good guys, much better accents than the rest of us Texas normies here. Dalton, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will talk soon. Those of you guys who are listening in the chat, stay hang tight here. I'm going to switch us over to our live show, and then I want you guys to come join and talk a little Mavs with me. Dalton, thanks so much. Talk soon.
Appreciate it, Kurt. See you.